Why don't we all start off every episode with yelling out spoilers for season 5, and then I'll cut them out.
No!
And all the listeners will have is just the sound of anguish in your voices.
Yeah, me going, no!
Like, I just finished listening to 189, the most recent episode that came out today.
No! All right, shall I tell you the thing I noticed?
Sure.
It's a bit...
That is good. That's we cannot put that in the episode, because that is a massive spoiler.
Yeah.
Hello. I feel hello. Like I should introduce... Just hello, people who are our listeners. It is us, the Archive Admirers, back at it again with our stupid, stupid podcast that I love doing.
Greetings, those who have ears.
Yeah, that's suitably ominous. Good.
What if you don't have ears but can still listen to a podcast?
These are metaphysical ears. They exist outside the realms of. I'm writing an essay. Like, it's literally open on my laptop in front of me, and the sentence I've written. This is the most recent one. We understand from the first law of thermodynamics itself an adaptation of the law of conservation of energy, and metaphysics.
I thought you were going to start quoting the B-movie.
Yes, I was going
to. I mean, like, the law of thermodynamics, I know.
Yeah. According to the first law of thermodynamics, it is impossible for a bee to be created from...
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, are we allowed to curse on this podcast?
We are allowed to curse.
I think that's a facile.
I like the way we're 5 episodes in now, so we've like, you know, people are starting to be like, oh yeah, it's a very serious, and this intro is like, hello, B-movie. Just instant B-movie bullshit.
The last episode ended with, it was like, okay, B-movie, and now this one's, hello, B-movie.
They're gonna think we recorded them right after each other, but actually there's like a week in between, we're just back with
this a good 2 weeks. This is great. With me, as always, because we're not cutting any of that out, we're just going straight through, baby, is my co-host, Nigel, talking about metaphysics and bees.
Hey.
Elka.
Hiya.
Getting frustrated at metaphysics and bees.
Yes.
And Faustina, who's just vibing out.
Cursing at metaphysics and bees.
Cursing at
metaphysics and bees are the bane of my existence.
I like bees.
I don't have anything against bees, to be honest.
Against metaphysics?
I hate metaphysics with a passion.
Yeah, fuck that bullshit. No.
Okay.
So, for anyone who's listening to this episode, it's our first episode of ours we're listening to, don't go back to episode 0.
Just no.
Solid advice, yeah.
Stop. But for if you are listening and you've decided to keep playing after these 4 minutes or however many long, how long into the episode we are the Archive Admirers, a show about a podcast where we talk about the hit audio drama The Magnus Archives by Rusty Quill. So in each episode we talk about the episode, we give a little summary, we discuss the themes we like about it, and then later on some of us disappear and then we have our spoilery discussion of the episode so far. Today we're talking about episode 5, Thrown Away, which is what I'm going to do to myself once we finish recording.
I'm sure the pickup people will be happy to find you.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to put myself in the bin where I belong.
No.
Embrace my inner Oscar the Grouch. Final year's getting to me, guys.
You're gonna give someone a heart attack.
It's like, look!
They're gonna open up the bin bag and you're just gonna be like, metaphysics and bees! And they're just gonna be like, okay.
Oh no!
Nope, not dealing with this.
Medical incinerator for you.
like the one when SpongeBob is waiting for mail and he's just like sitting inside of his mailbox.
Oh, yeah.
The postman opens it and he just jumps out.
So yes, Nigel, do you want to take us away with our summary, or do we want to stay on metaphysics and bees for the next 25 minutes or however long
no,
this
we
episode's
don't.
Going to be?
We'll start a separate podcast about metaphysics and bees.
Oh god.
We've already got like 3 other podcasts planned. We gotta stop. Yeah. It's becoming a problem.
All the networks. All the networks! Some of you will recognize that as a Rudy Giuliani quote.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Listen, my hair dye is not dripping down my neck, so... Rudy
is your
and
hair
I...
dyed?
No. Well.
Oh.
Sort of?
Not that you know of. Okay, so this is episode 5, Thrown Away, which is statement of Kieran Woodward regarding items recovered from the refuse of 93 Lancaster Road, Walthamstow. So basically, this episode is about Mr. Woodward, who he's a bin collector, bin man, and he's going around just doing regular bin man things. And then when they reach this house, 93 Lancaster Road, they find this bag and they go to pick it up and just a bunch of doll's heads come out. So they're like, this is weird. And the guy who drives the bin lorry, Alan Parfitt, is like, okay, that's weird. We should keep an eye out on this house. So time goes by and there's nothing there, and then one day they find another bag there, and so they decide to have a look in it, and there's paper in it which apparently has the Our Father in it in Latin, and it's slightly burnt, and they're like, okay, that's pretty weird. And then like a fortnight later, there's another bag. And so I have to preface this with that, you know, it's early in the morning when they're doing this thing, so they have no idea who's putting the bins out. Is it someone in the house or whatever? You know, it's at the start of their route as well. And so then they find this new bag, and he's going to lift the bag, and it catches on a wall, and it splits and spills thousands of teeth onto the ground. And naturally, they're like, okay, teeth is a bit weird to be throwing away.
Just
like, you know, like doll's heads I'm fine with, but teeth is where I draw the line. And
just that community fucking meme.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, I'm gonna have to make that now when we're
no,
done.
I'm gonna
here.
Make it now as we're talking.
Aw, yes. You're my hero, Hannah.
Keep going on with the summary. I'll make memes.
And so they call the police, and the police show up, and naturally the police are like, okay, teeth is a crime. So they go and they knock on the door in the dead of morning at the door of 93, you know, house number 93, and they it's opened by an old couple, and they're like, we don't know anything about the teeth. And they're like, okay, old people can't be criminals. That's fine. So things progress on, and there's nothing there, you know, anymore. And they think, oh, maybe it was some weirdo leaving them there, and the police having shown up has scared them off. But then Alan, the bin driver, the bin lorry driver, is getting gradually more and more, you know, irritable and like tired and whatever. So our boy Woodward says, you know, what's up? Either talk about it or get over it, because we're trying to do a job here. Professionalism, as it's called. And he said, you know, he's like, I've been watching the house every night, you know, trying to find who's been leaving the bag. And he's like, it's a bad idea. So this progresses on until eventually he, like, you know, he needs to drink like 12 energy drinks. He falls asleep at the wheel of a bin lorry and crashes it, and so he gets fired at Alan Parfitt, and he gets replaced. And then more time goes by, and then in the middle of the night, excuse me, in the middle of the night, Kira.
Joking.
To perish. In the middle of the night, Kieran receives a text from Alan that says, I found him. And then nothing happens. He doesn't respond when Kieran is like, hey, found who? Are you okay? And he's like, okay, something bad's happened. He goes over to the house, and there's a new bin bag there, tied with a green ribbon. And when he opens it, it's full of packing peanuts. So, okay. Packing peanuts, puts his hand in, takes out a metal heart with Alan Perfitt's name engraved in it, and that's it. You know, end scene. Because there's no more, bro. I'm straight up just not having a good time right now.
Yeah, all his head's okay. Like, I've never been collecting. Actor, but events are not a vibe. Just saying.
Yeah.
No.
They're up there on the
people
creepy scale.
People apparently see a lot of crazy shit. Like.
And it's frustrating they didn't have a stronger reaction to dolls, because with dolls especially and toys, what people find creepy is the, you know, we
the
anthropomorphize them. There's this idea called resistentialism, which is the belief that, like, inanimate objects are actually alive. That kind of fear. It's a very primal fear, you know?
Toy Story thing.
Yeah, but like...
Yeah, exactly. Like, Sid, who actually grows up to become a bin man.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also in the
He's the bin man in Toy Story 3.
Oh, good for him. Also, in defense of the bin men, though, like, from Facebook, I know that there are people who give dolls makeovers and stuff, who just collect dolls to give them a different look. So I don't know if I would be super surprised by a bag full of doll heads. I just assume there are, like, something for that, or maybe someone who has very destructive children, I don't know. I've accidentally pulled the head of one of my dolls when I was a kid.
But
because
not
I just popped it back on, but, like, that doesn't seem too creepy to me. Especially if they were porcelain dolls, then yes, I'd be freaked out. But if they're just Barbie dolls, I'd be like, okay, this is weird, but...
It's plausibility.
I think it's, like, hard to, like, imagine, like, it's not... You know, one or two dolls' heads, you'd be like, okay, yeah, obviously someone's, like, broken a toy or something like that, but it's, like, the impression you get is, like, it's a lot. Like, it's at least triple, like, double figures? No, it'd be triple figures.
Yeah, it has to be.
A full bulging bin bag's worth.
Yeah, that's a lot. But, you know, on the other hand, if they call the cops, then there's, like, issues. So maybe they're just like, well, it's just dolls' heads. He hasn't killed anyone. Let's just ignore it. This isn't my problem.
Oh. It's like definitely not my monkey, not my circus kind of...
Yeah. That's a lovely expression.
I say that expression at least once a week.
I love it.
That's right. That's a Polish phrase, I believe, isn't it?
Is it?
We have the translation of it, but I think it's a phrase which started in Poland.
That's cool.
My beauty, she's nearly finished, and then I will actually...
And then after doll's heads, it's a weird prayer. Is that creepier or less creepy?
I don't know. It depends on your personal background.
Like, if you're genuinely someone who believes, like, the other dude in the crew, then I would think it's very creepy. If you're someone who doesn't care at all about prayer or Latin, then meh.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be creeped out. I'd be fine. I think the doll heads are creepier than the weird prayer. I couldn't read the Latin anyway, and I have no idea what the words are for any sort of prayer, let alone...
Our Father is Pater Nostos. That's all I know of our I can recite to you the Hail Mary in that, but all I know of the Lord's Prayer is that Our Father is Pater Nostos, because there's a square in London.
I think I'd be able to figure out it through the Our Father prayer, but I think it's creepier that it is combined with the dolls. Like, if you just found a bag of weird prayers, sure. But the fact that it's first December dolls and then the prayer, that would...
But the prayers are also slightly burned.
Yeah, and also, isn't it one big page?
Like one...
That's weird as fuck. Like, where do you even get a page that big?
Because it's only 1 inch. It's only 2.5 centimeters, Elke.
It's like one of those rolls. It's one of...
That's even worse!
It's like a roll that you type bills on. Like,
yeah, explain that.
You get your bill. Yeah.
So like 2.5 centimeters is not at all very broad.
But think of that, that's filling a bag. So like it'd be one thing if it was like stacks of like copy paper. But think how many of those rolls you would need to fill handwritten prayers.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Is it handwritten? Was it mentioned? Because if it's handwritten or if it's typed, it makes a big difference for me.
I'm gonna check.
I don't think it says.
I'm gonna check it. The Lord's Prayer.
I don't know.
Writing on it in another language, but it doesn't say if it's
God damn it, Johnny, we need answers. I'm going to write in and just be like, it's imperative that we know.
From writing, I always say that it's handwritten.
Yeah.
Otherwise, so it's typing, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
But does that mean it's like definitely like, the Shining imagery of just, you know, like the scene when she finds all his notes in the top, like the copywriter?
Oh, yeah.
And Faust doesn't know, because Faust has never seen The Shining.
What?
I was trying to stay, like, silent and let it pass over, and then you have
I will call you out on this every time you watch it with me.
Yeah. I have
surely, you know the scene. Yeah.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun movie.
It's good.
What's for all the family? Bring your kids.
Do you want to know Hannah's weird trivia fact for this episode?
Yeah, go for it.
I stayed in the hotel where it was filmed. Well, not filmed, because it was filmed on a soundstage, but you know the outdoor bits with the, like, the maze and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
I stayed in that hotel, yeah.
That's cool.
It's called the Timberline Lodge. It's in, Portland, just outside, Seattle.
Is it
beside
really
a big the interiors are like it was built by like Roosevelt in like the 1940s as like a or like even sorry the 1920s as a like a okay we're gonna build this big fuck off timber hotel so people can get jobs around here during the Great Depression. So the interiors are like really old and it's like all pine and stuff. It's really nice hotel. They had a pool. The funniest thing about it is that it's right beside Mount St. Helens, which is this, like, massive volcano that erupted.
Yeah.
But that's Hannah's weird trivia fact for this episode.
That's pretty cool. Also, to relate things back to Toy Story again, the carpet in Sid's house, the carpet in Sid's house in Toy Story 1 is the same pattern as the carpet in The Shining, in Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
That's creepy as fuck. Why would you do that?
I liked why none of us have mentioned as well the like iron heart that he found in the fourth bag. We're all just like, we'll get to that later. Let's just talk about what's worse, prayers or dolphins.
I think we've already accepted that all of these episodes are going to be way too long. So,
It's just I'll leave all of it in. I'm just going to take out all the pauses, so it's one non-stop monologue with many different people.
I wonder, though, why it's, like, I don't know if my argument's gonna make sense, but, like, there's a lot of doll heads, there's a couple thousands of these, and then there's, like, a super long prayer, and then there's one heart with lots of packing peanuts, but like there's only one heart. That seems...
It's metal.
How many hearts does a regular human have?
Does a regular human have 2,000 teeth, Nigel? You have 2,000 teeth.
Yeah. Also, they're 2,000. Okay, but they're 2,000.
Just silence. Okay.
They're the same tooth.
Oh,
no. Isn't it?
Yeah, they're the... And
yeah, then why aren't there 2,000 hearts?
Would take up too much space.
Because there's only one Alan.
Yeah, there's one Alan. It says his name on it. It's meant to be symbolically, he's dead.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
worse than that. So, he's like, dead,
if
Jim.
If it's the same tooth. Wait, am I misinterpreting this?
No, it is the same tooth.
They meant like the same exact tooth.
Yeah, tooth. Yeah.
So then they could have picked 2,000 of Alan's hearts. If it,
if it didn't want to?
Yeah, maybe he's doing something with the real heart. Maybe he's keeping...
I thought this chopping was the real heart.
Well, that's a question, isn't it? Yeah. Is this the real heart, and how did it get made into metal? Or is this a copy that they made once he cut out the real heart?
Like, the impression you get, and maybe this is just me, it's like, obviously some ritual or something. Like, you know, so like, it's... They're using the doll's bodies for something, or something happens, and he has like 150 or like however many heads left. So he's like, "Fuck it, just put it in a bin bag and leave it, like just on this random, you know, street." And then it's the next time it's Dolores' prayer written out in all these like pieces of paper, either by hand. I think it's by hand in like Latin. We don't know Latin. It could be like Sanskrit or whatever. And then it's teeth, like loads of teeth. And then Alan gets obsessed, finds whoever it is, and then it's just, like, one little copper heart. And, like, it's only, like, a few hours later. So, like, even if you were to mold a load of copper, I don't think it would cool down that quickly.
No, you're right.
I like how we've enforced the strict rules of our world on...
Yeah, that's also true.
You're just like, the economics would not bear this out.
I had another theory, though. Because, like, the first three bags are just supposed to be normal trash, right? He's just leaving it there to be... Or the perpetrator is just leaving it there to be picked up. No biggie.
Yeah.
But then Alan starts stalking whoever is doing this and gets caught. And Alan has also talked to our main character, whose name I forgot, about the stalking. So,
Kieran. So it's like, does it need to be found to, you know, to gain whatever, whatever it wants from it? It needs to be found. It needs to have someone to see it.
Yeah.
That kind of, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound?
Yeah. It's funny, like, listening to these now and, like, critically discussing
analyzing
them with people. Thank you. A lot of people disappear in these. And, you know, I think because they're so short episodes, like, I think this episode's 20 minutes. Like, most episodes' runtime are 20 minutes. So, you don't really realize it, but, like, this is the fifth episode. Has someone disappeared in every episode?
Think so.
Except Paige Turner, because that's, you know, no one disappears, but you do have, like, the ghost of Mary on the book.
Jared's whatever runs off.
Jared runs off, but it's not, like, a supernatural entity climbed into his great drain pipe.
Yeah, technically John disappears at the end of Do Not Open when he goes to the coffin, but we know specifically what happened to him. Even if we don't know the specifics. But yeah, people are disappearing.
Yeah. That's suspicious. Like, you have to wonder, is there... Whatever these things are, these, like, supernatural entities, are they disappearing people on purpose, or is it just kind of, you know, they consume someone and they're erased? Because, like, and I know it's, like, over across a number of years and stuff, but it's all these, like, weird disappearances. You'd think they would kind of be picked up on before, and maybe the Institute is what's picking them up on, like, picking up on them. If there's, like, been a weird series of disappearances, and they're kind of like, we need to kind of start, like, keeping an eye on this, but I guess you just don't really know at this stage. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely think that this person who's leaving the bags is kind of doing it partly on purpose to get noticed, because this bothers me. Why would you leave a suspicious bag at the same place every time? If it's...
Well, you don't know how many bags he's getting rid of, is the other thing.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe there's more suspicious bags, but if I was a weird person who was conducting...
You are a weird person.
I mean, yeah, but if I was currently conducting a supernatural ritual, I would always pick a different place to leave my leftover chunk.
No, this is assuming. This is assuming that it's a human person consciously making the decision.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot to be said, even if
it is a human person, they could just be overconfident, right? Because two bags just got picked up with the bin man, as usual. And it's not until the third that the police gets called. So maybe this person just thinks that the other two bags went unnoticed.
True. Yeah, that's true.
But also,
he's put them in a place, you know, that he knows nothing's going to happen. He's put them in front of the house of an old couple, you know?
Yeah.
So this person might just be overconfident and a little bit dumb. Or they might be supernatural and just not aware of human society.
Yeah. I think this is an interesting episode as well, because it's something in it where it's the first one which feels like a case to be studied, if that makes sense. Because, like, with the other ones, we've been like, that's a weird supernatural hinky-dink. But this is, like, it could just be a very bizarre, disturbed individual who's just doing... something weird. And what happened, the weird thing at the end that happens that makes it supernatural is Alan disappearing, but he could have just got murdered, you know?
Yep. Yeah, someone could have just had a spare copper heart lying around Alan's name on it.
John says that the thieves are in various ages, right? Some of them are decaying. So, what if we also know that these thieves come from the same human. So what if it was just that whoever is doing this kidnapped this person, did whatever they did to this person, and now the person is just empty, I guess. And that's also why they took Alan, because he is now the new victim.
Oh god.
But like, for 2,000 thieves to be pulled, if we assume they grow back in, like, a day or so, that's still several years. Yeah. I can see a body giving up in that time, even with supernatural interference. So maybe the previous victim just stopped working for whatever this perpetrator needed them. And then Alan was stalking them anyway, so they just picked Alan, left behind the heart for... what's his name? Keith? No.
Kieran.
And now Alan's gonna be losing his heart for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I hadn't even considered that. Like, if it's someone, like, I just did the math there. So if it's tooth every day, it's 5.5 years. And it's probably longer if they're in, like, varying stages of decay, because teeth are, like, enamel and stuff. So I don't think they rot that quickly. I could be wrong. I'm not a dentist.
No, they don't. I don't think they do.
It's just kept in a massive vat of sugar.
Nom nom nom.
Because that would be slightly horrifying.
Every time I think about these teeth, all I can think of is if anyone's seen James Acaster's repertoire on Netflix, where he's talking about going to the dentist, and there's a picture of a tooth that's smiling, and in its mouth there's teeth, and it's just that logical just regression of do the tooth's teeth have teeth too? Do the tooth's teeth have teeth too?
Yeah, like an Escher paper.
Yeah.
You're
better than me, because we've said teeth 3 times, so my mind's just gone teeth gang, teeth gang, teeth gang from H. Bomber Guy, and I'm like, stop it.
Yeah, weird episode.
Oddly enough, it reminds me of, in a strange way, it reminds me of, like, early Night Vale. And not, like, not because it's spooky, because Night Vale was never, like, uber spooky in the way that Magnus is. But if you strip away the horror element and you just look at, like, the plot of it, it feels like it could be something out of early Night Vale, where it's, like, there's mysterious bags being left. And, there's these weird things in them. And then they'll turn it into, like, something really profound at the end. Except, you know, the reality is someone's going to die. But it's strange. That's what it reminded me of.
Like, I think in terms of podcasts, and I think this is a show where, like, podcasting's been around as a medium for 10 years now. And I think talking about Night Vale in comparison to Magnus is really interesting. Because the same way that, like, you know, there's a fucking 100 new murder mystery podcasts that come out each week. But the thing that really launched that format as you know, this works with Serial. And I think the same way of, like, kind of weekly narrative horror that's, you know, or like existential kind of dread horror that's, you know, weekly stories that lead up to an overall plot. The thing that really did start that, and I'm sure it existed in the past as well, but the thing that really started that in podcasting was Night Vale. So it's interesting that this is kind of the fifth episode in, and it's the first one that's had that real Night Vale-y kind of aura about it. That's probably the
weirdness
best way of describing it. Yeah.
But it's also just the weird kind of aura is balanced against, like, this episode. So we've talked about how there's so many different types of horror explored in, or like different ways the horror comes about in previous episodes and stuff. This one's very, very domestic. Like, I know Across the Street in episode 3 dealt with, like, kind of modern day personal anxieties, especially for women, where it's like, you know, you can't walk home alone, that kind of, you know, that kind of threat. This one's like very general for all of society, because, you know, they're like, oh, the bin men, they see, you know, they see an aspect, like, if you're an alcoholic, they probably know how much more you drink than you do. But all of it seems to, you know, it just functions as a larger metaphor for, like, you know, anyone could be hiding anything. And some people will just be like, I don't see it because it's put into a bag correctly, you know?
Yeah. But it also ties into, like, I know there's, like, a lot of very famous stories. And, well, I think we're going to wrap up this part of the show soon, but there's a lot of, like, very famous stories of, like, serial killers that, like, how they're caught is, you know, they fucked up with their pipes. And, like, I know there's a famous, I can't remember the name of it, but there's a TV show made about it, and David Tennant plays a serial killer. People in his apartment and flushed them, like, kind of cut up the bodies and, like, flush it down the toilet. And he did it for, like, 10 years. And what caught him was that he flushed a bit that was a little bit too big, so it blocked the pipe. And a plumber got called for the building, and he, like, dug stuff up and found a bone and was like, that's a bit suspicious, and called the cops, and that's how he got arrested. So it's that kind of, you know, like, the invisible people in society, and I hate using that term because I think it's very degrading, but the service people that you would not consider being the kind of, I don't know, the foundations of horror or something, I think is really interesting.
I think there's another thing, though, because, wait, I first have a question to ask. Mm-hmm. Have we mentioned how only certain files don't get recorded on digital stuff?
That hasn't been mentioned yet in the show, so we haven't mentioned it. I don't think. We might have mentioned this, but I think that's more spoilery. That doesn't get mentioned, I don't think, until, like, very near the end.
I thought we mentioned it in, like, the first episode, because John goes, like, hey, only certain files, like, most files.
We mentioned it.
You and I did. Okay, then never mind. Then I'm gonna keep it for later.
Yeah, keep it for.
It wasn't our thing, though. Yeah.
We'll cut this bit out of the recording and out of your memories. And
I had one last remark, maybe, though, before we go into spoiler territory. Fucking love how John once again goes, "Hey, Martin didn't find anything, but at least he was out of the Institute for an afternoon. Thank God."
Martin bully counter.
Yeah. It's like episode five. I think he's had... Yeah, this is episode 5. I think he's now had 3 mentions of Martin being useless.
And Sasha being ace. But before we go into the spoiler discussion, how do we feel about this episode? Because, like, it's not my favorite of the 5 we listened to, but I think I don't dislike it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, if I were to rank the first 5 episodes, this one will probably be on the bottom, just because something needs to be on the bottom. That's how lists work.
Yeah.
But it's still a good episode overall.
Yeah.
It just, for me, it kind of... It leaves you hanging a bit. Like, most episodes do that. They leave a bit of mystery. But with this one, there's just too much. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, all of the episodes, they work in a...
I had an opposite kind of thing where this one is, on itself, not super memorable. But every time someone brings it up, it has a very clear feeling of like, oh yeah, that one was really weird. Like,
yeah.
You know, when someone mentions a random episode, it's like, oh yes, I remember what this was about, that was pretty cool. And this one always has a much stronger reaction for me, even though it's not super special.
Yeah. I think that goes back to what we were talking about before, where the, like, that everyday heart, or like that everyday kind of, like, you know, just could happen in your street and you would never know about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, how are you going to find out, like, unless your neighbor tells you, like, oh yeah, someone left a bag of teeth by our door. or a bag of doll's heads. You know, I think that's the scary thing. I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass, like I always do. Speaking of talking out of my ass, I'm not going to talk out of my ass for the next 20 minutes because we're going to start our spoiler discussion. I'm so good at being a podcast host, guys. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, you're really good at it.
I'm not.
I think you are.
Thank you.
Elka, leave.
I'm leaving.
Okay, there we go.
Skip ahead to 44 minutes and 13 seconds to avoid series spoilers.
Oh, I go in and mute and deafen the people anyway, and then they've already done it too, so they're just doubly.
Just to be sure. Yeah, so what I wanted to say was, I mean, if you're listening to the spoilers, you've probably already figured out that the actual supernatural statements are the ones that are recorded with the tape recorder, because everything that's not supernatural can just be recorded digitally. So while we were discussing earlier, like, oh, it could just be a human, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. It was like, no, it doesn't, because this is recorded. Not this.
Like,
what's the opposite of digital? Analog.
Yeah, analog.
Like, just because it's recorded with analog, it has to be supernatural according to this show's world building.
Yeah, the only way it could be a human is if it's an avatar of an entity. But the way they're going on about it is it could just be a random person. But no. Analog technology just overall seems to be the thwarting power towards the enemy, you know? Polaroid pictures don't change whenever the not them takes someone. You know? It's just like... really solidifying the 80s were the best decade.
Martin was right with his lo-fi vibe.
Oh, yes.
I don't actually have a lot to say about this episode, spoiler-wise. Except that I have absolutely no clue which entity it would belong to.
This is funny. This is funny. I know what this is because Johnny talked about it in the season 4 Q&A, because everyone was like, hey,
yeah,
what entity?
I think, is this the one where he was like, oh, some episodes are a mix of entities?
No, it's not, yeah, it is kind of, it can be seen as a mix of entities, but this one was meant to be primarily the flesh, and he was like, he was just like, yeah, it was very early doors, I didn't really know what I was doing with the flesh, and then, but like, you know, no one had any clue, they were like, is it flesh? And Johnny was like, it's flesh adjacent. He said, he said it resulted in, this is a direct quote, a grab bag of fears.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Looking back with the teeth and stuff.
Yeah, like, you could read a lot into different entities doing things related to the specific items if you wanted to go.
Could be the stranger.
Yeah,
right.
The stranger, because that's all dolls and mannequins and stuff. I mean, if you really wanted to read into it, you could say the desolation because the paper is burnt.
Yeah. If you want to go really far-fetched.
One I thought was interesting, and because it wasn't even, like, ever mentioned at all, and you can read this into it in sort of like a larger symbolic one, is this could be an episode that's associated with the extinction, because this deals with like what happens after humans, it's all garbage and things people have left behind after them, which is very much what the extinction about. It's not death of everything, it's a world post humans. So that it'd be an interesting one if that was like deliberately setting up the extinction in episode 5, considering that the hellscape of season 5 is basically an extinction.
Yeah, like if Johnny hadn't said it was supposed to be flesh, but I was still figuring things out, and that, yeah. Mm. Unless Johnny lied to us, which I wouldn't be
surprised. We would trust in Johnny, though.
Like, I don't think he's lied up to us so far. I'd be surprised if he or Alex would just say, you know?
Yeah, I think in previous ones they've just been very coy about things. So we can be... Yeah. This episode also, it just doesn't have a lot of things that it ties to the episode. The fact that the road is in Walthamstow, kebab shop takeaway.
Eating kebab.
Hmm?
Maybe. Yeah, and I said that I feel like eating kebab, but maybe not from that area.
Oh, sorry. I wonder. Yeah, it's the takeaway. The kebab shop is that that's explicitly flesh alien are both avatars. Is Walthamstow a big area for the flesh?
Well, maybe it is the Han brothers doing this too. Or maybe it really is just flesh.
Could be.
The area.
Yeah. Well, just thinking of the...
Oh, I turned off Martin. Oops.
Oh, dear.
That's what I did on accident. That's okay. I don't think we said anything really important.
Well, I mean, when did... We had sort of agreed that we had nothing left, and then the noise happened, right?
Yeah, I think we just said that maybe we should cut it short after I'd pushed the button.
Yeah, okay. Cut it short, just stop the recording.
End of the episode, we're done.
Oh, that'd be a funny gag, wouldn't it?
Anyway, shall we get Hanna and Elka back?
Yes. Okay. Ceaseless watcher. Turn your gaze on. Okay, they have. See, this is the problem with them muting and deafening themselves. Because I've unmuted and deafened them, but they're still muted and deafened.
There I go. Back.
I'm gonna say bing bong. Bing bong.
come back.
I've been server deafened. I cannot hear.
Oh.
Thought I did. Huh.
Yeah.
Oh no, she's deafened. Someone keeps deafening.
Let me hear.
Okay.
So. Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
I think Michael and I were working against each other because I unmuted and deafened her, and she was back, and then she was deafened again. So I think it's two of us working against each other on accident.
That's You're trying to undermine the integrity of this podcast.
Apparently.
Integrity?
Sorry. Yeah.
What was it mean?
The little we had left.
I was thinking. Anyway,
welcome back from the shortest spoiler talk ever.
That was a short
spoiler talk.
In the interim, I got given a margarita by my father, so sip, sip, sip.
Oh, I'm gonna have a swig out of a bottle of creme de menthe while I'm here.
I might lose it. My coke before the next episode in the break.
Elka, do you have any plot? I think there's gonna be more weird human teeth bullshit, and there is going to. I feel like Alan's gonna turn back up in some capacity. That's one thing. I think all the people who've disappeared, I think, are going to turn up again, and
yeah,
I feel like Lancaster Road, the fact they kind of mention it so many times, my brain is kind of
suspicious.
Yeah,
and you're never dead unless there's a body.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones rule, isn't it?
Unless there's a body, they're not dead. So who knows where all the disappeared people are.
Anyway, with that being said, I think we are done with this episode. You can follow us on our social media at Archive Admirers, or send us in funny memes about the episode at archiveadmirers@gmail.com. If anyone wants to make a better version of the teeth meme that hopefully we've posted on our social media before this episode comes out, or around when this episode comes out, I should say, send it to me. You can at me at my personal Twitter at curlycomsci, where I'm trying to get Twitter to like give me the social approval to rewatch all of Supernatural, because that's just something I want to do at the moment, but I really shouldn't. That show is not better. Nigel, what about you?
I just rejoined the call there. Discord crashed for a second, so I've come in straight away to plug my Twitter at Spicy Nigel, where recently I've tweeted a larger than usual amount of tweets about the Boss Baby sequel.
What?
They're making a sequel to the DreamWorks smash hit film The Boss Baby, and I have things to say about it.
That is very fair. Is Alec Baldwin reprising his role as the Boss Baby?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. That's what 2020 needs. It needs more Boss Baby action. Baby.
That's what it will say. It's coming out in 2021, though, is the thing. But they dropped a trailer. So they did. And I'm like, the Boss Baby.
What was my last tweet? Oh, lol. I retweeted something from college and then they deleted it. That's funny.
Classic Trinity move.
and then I was tweeting about the Supernatural finale. Even though that we're now on day 6 post-finale and there's still fucking bullshit coming out. But anyway, Elka and Faustina, is there anything you guys would like to plug? Or are we ready to finish up?
I'm writing some articles for a Belgian Dutch-languaged website. And I've written a couple of... It's called Geekstory. And it's for all kinds of nerdy stuff. And I've written like 4 articles for them before. And now I'm going to get started on one about the romantic relationships in Dracula. So that should be up in a few weeks. But also it's in Dutch. So
that's all right. We will retweet that when it's out. And
with vigor.
With vigor. I'm just looking through my Twitter now because I'm an absolute narcissist, and I remember when I lost my bloody mind at that Wild Mountain Sign trailer, aka a hate crime.
Oh. The thing is, that film is supposed to be set from near where I live.
Well, you need to fix your accent then.
What? You... What, you brought him in here like I was a red heifer to look me over?
Highly, highly ho.
Oh, lucky chance.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hello there, SpongeBob. Yarr.
I didn't know we didn't have running water in Ireland, but we can still freeze our eggs.
This... Oh my God, they all look so dirty. Despite the fact that this is meant to be set post 9/11, because the shots that take place in New York don't have the World Trade Center in it, but apparently
not even post 9/11. It's post 2015, because that's when the Freedom Tower opened, which is that's the name of the building that they put on Ground Zero. As I know, America is a parody of itself. Sorry, listeners.
Yeah. God, we should start a podcast where we just talk about bad Irish films. All the networks.
Irishman be in there.
All the networks.
Yeah, that's what we'll call all the networks.
We haven't gotten our film. That's another one. The film theory, a film review podcast. So that's
we have a food one.
We have a food one. We have a random one. Yeah. Okay. I think this is good to go.
Wait, Elka, would you like to plug the fact that you've changed your Twitter username but won't tell anyone else?
yeah, find out, people, it's changed. It's mine.
Real cryptic. Real
good luck, y'all.
It exists out there on the Twitter.
We're just never going to put Elka's ads into the Archive Admirers bio. And people can just look for it, I guess.
Yeah, come find.
It's funny because it works as a meme, but also it's impractical because we don't have enough characters to put in the box.
Elke is our podcast cryptid.
I wear the title proudly.
You've changed it. But you've changed it before the first episode comes out. So, people are like, oh, they changed their app.
Oh.
They changed it, but that was in November.
Well, the listeners are used to weird time stuff, because all the Magnus episodes are this one's in 2003. Oh, the next one's in 2011, and then it's one from 1845. So, I'm sure they can figure it out.
Yeah, with that being said, character on the Magnus archives.
Maybe.
My timeline is weird too, I belong on this podcast.
I just downed a margarita, that was not a good idea.
That's not good for her stomach.
Colin keeps trying to talk and keeps getting interrupted.
No, I deserve to get interrupted, it is fine. I'm trying to end the show, lad.
always hard, I know.
You know when you're playing D&D and the DM wants you to go on to the next scene and you're like, no, I'm going to talk to this peasant for 25 minutes. That's what being on this podcast is like sometimes.
Oh, we had legit our last session. We had set up camp somewhere and the DM was like, okay, and in the morning and we're only three of us playing and two of us went, wait, I still want to do something. And he just looked so disappointed.
We spent
turns around like Jim on The Office, just...
Yeah, our last episode, we were in a real hurry because one of our characters' parents is in real trouble, but instead, we decided to stick around town for a day and get involved in the love life of the post office worker.
Well, speaking of parents getting in trouble, I don't want my mom to eat me, so we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye!
Bye!
Bye!
Bye!